My name is Erling Strand. Just now I'm working at the Østfold University College as a lecturer. I'm an assistant professor. So my main topic is teaching students in computer science topics. So I also do some work with a project which is very interesting. So I think we'll come back to that.
Can you give us a little bit of background information on the Hesdalen lights and why you find them so interesting?
Well, the Hesdalen light is still a mystery. We don't know what it is. It started back in, I think it's nearly 40 years ago since I first saw it myself. It made a big impression on me. You know, Hesdalen is a small Norwegian valley. It's about only 15 miles long and not so wide. Now it's only about 100 people living there. So it's a small valley. Suddenly the inhabitants there started to see some bright lights, mostly seen as bright lights. It could also be seen in the daytime with what you can say is more like object types. However, the lights was the most happening. It was so much. In the beginning of the 80s, it was up to 20 observations a week. So people went up there to see it for themselves. And I and some friends did also do that. And we went out in the mountain area, not any houses, long distance. And it saw this bright light coming and not so far from us. That made a big impression on me, and that was back in 1982. And no one did do anything to do any research or try to find it out. Everyone talked about it. Why doesn't that university do something? Why doesn't that research facility do anything? So we decided, maybe no one else do something, maybe we should start ourselves. So the year afterwards, we decided to start what we call Project Hesdalen. And that project, the first goal was to try to find out what it could be, of course. And actually prove that it was a real phenomena going on in the valley, because the inhabitants was ridiculed in the press when it was mentioned in the press. And of course they was really upset of that. We knew also that there was something, because, well, as I mentioned, I was up there and saw it for myself, made a big impression on me, so I knew it was a real phenomenon going on. Many people didn't accept it as a real phenomenon. I even thought that those who saw it and reported about it was joking or anything. So I believed at that time that if we put up some instruments in the valley, run it for a short period of time, and study the results of the instruments, maybe we could find an answer very shortly. But it turned out that it was much more difficult to find an answer. And sightings went on, and study of the sightings, the description, the measurements we had was made it more mysterious, because it could, well, some of the results pointed in different direction. For instance, some of the results claimed it was a hot light, but other measurement or happenings obviously showed it wasn't any warm or hot object. And we have some measurement to point that it must be some solid object type, a light which is more as an ordinary object. And we have also other observation description that it's hard to believe it has anything to do with solid object. So it turned out that we had several results or measurement or description when we studied it that was pointing in different directions. So after some period of time, we maybe believed it could be different solution. Maybe it was a different thing we were seeing. And also other point that pointed in that direction was the type of sightings. Some of the sightings was seen as flashes of light, strong flashes of light, only lasting for less than a second, blue or white. Another type was more yellow balls of light, which was moving fast or moving slowly. It could be standing still for minutes on one location. Sometimes it was a strong intensity that the ground beneath it was illuminated. So it was moving slowly and sometimes stopping. That was another type, which was quite different from the blue or white short flashes. The third type is more several lights which seems to be coming from something which kept these balls or spots of lights together. It was as if these lights was on one type of, some people claimed it was an object. We have seen that for several times too. So that's the three main types.
And how long, to your knowledge, have these lights been appearing over the region of Hästölen?
Became famous, or people knew about it in the early 80s, because the intensity was so high at that point, and newspaper journalists started to write about it, etc. That high intensity of up to 20 observations a week could last for, well, early 1981 to late 1984. It's a long period. When we have talked with people up there, old people, and they claim it has been there before, although not with such a high intensity though, but they have reported of what they have seen themselves when they was young. So it probably has been going on for a very long time. Yeah. But it's now we're in these days, it's the number of reports or number of observations we get is in the order of 20 a year instead of 20 a week. So it's much less now. But it is still quite enough, 20 observations a week in such a small valley. We don't have any numbers of the observations which probably have been earlier, before 1981. We have just heard one story from that time and one story from that time when we talked with old people. So we don't know if the number of sightings at that time was in the order of the same as it is now, 20 a week. But it still continues, and we have been doing several field works with the people going out in the mountain. Also, we are located on different spots in the valley, up on the mountains, with cameras, instruments, and so on. So we have gathered some data during the years. And we have also an automatic station which sends the recorded data out on the internet. We are in the process of renewing, make this box, this automatic station with cameras and other instruments, make that better. Because, well, we haven't had much funding for doing this research, just as minor fundings. So we haven't been able to buy real good professional instruments running up there. But now we have some interest from the private, which are saying that they want us to have this station real up going with instruments. So just now we hope to get enough funding for having this station real good, and hopefully the data can bring us even further to a solution. So that is a process just now.
So do you have any thoughts on why the events have been decreasing in frequency over time?
Well, we don't have any. We don't have any answer on why it has been decreasing. In the beginning, we thought it could have something with the sun, sunspots and so on, but we haven't found any connection there with the sun cycles. We have found out that other places around the world can have similar observations than in the Hesdan Valley. We have some places in the States, we have some places in South America, some places in Australia. So it seems to be many places around the world which have some spots or some areas with high intensity. And what happening in these areas too, that it goes in cycles. Some period is a high activity, some period with a low activity. We haven't done good enough research on that field to compare it with all different things you could compare it with. So we don't know why it going up and down in the intensity.
Has there been any mining of raw materials in the Hesdalen region that could indicate a cause of origin through geological anomalies, deposits of quartz crystal, or anything like that?
Well, that's an interesting topic, because the Hesdalen area has a lot of different minerals in the ground. I think it's the area in Norway with the highest amount of different kind of minerals. Mining has been going on there. So that's a fact. We don't know if that is the reason why it happened in Hesdalen, but it's very easy to think that that topic has something to do with it. We have been cooperating with the geoscientists who have been doing several measurements up there. They're measuring the Earth's magnetic field, mapping the magnetic field up there. They have also mapped what kind of conducting material it is in the ground, in the mountain. We know also from old mining investigation that there is a lot of copper, and there is iron, and there is sulfur, there is zinc, there are several different kinds of minerals. But how can these minerals in the ground lead to such lights in the air? Sometimes this light is close to the ground. They have all different shapes, behavior, speed. People have been wakened middle of the night because it has been so light inside the house because of this strong light just moving in front of their windows. So how is it possible that the minerals in the ground can make such lights?
Does any of this phenomena observe that you've observed, or anyone else has observed, exhibit intelligent control in any way, or does this look like it might be a naturally occurring atmospheric phenomenon, or is there an aspect of intelligent control?
Well, if there is any aspect of intelligent control, well, we have, based on all those different reports we have got, description of the behavior of some of those description could, of course, make us to think anyway that there may be some kind of intelligent control. But I would say it is too few of such happening that we can draw any conclusion that there must be some intelligent. It's too few. However, there's some few which make us curious and make us discussing that. I will say that we don't have any proof of intelligent control.
Would you be happy to give us an example of one of the few that you feel were more like intelligent control?
Well, yes, we could mention a happening which happened during a field work where we pointed a laser beam towards a flashing light, the flashing frequency doubled when we pointed the laser towards us. And when we put the laser beam down, not pointing towards the light again, it turned back to the ordinary flashing. And we took the laser up again. And this happened, we did that test totally 9 times. And then 8 of those 9 times, this doubling of frequency.
Wow.
Happened.
It was back in the 1980s, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And another thing which may be connected to that is that we used a red laser with a red beam of light, not so strong. And 1 week later, we saw a similar red light on the ground coming from nowhere. It were, and it looked just like a laser beam around our feet, and it lasted for only some few seconds, but those who were present saw it. And when I compared, I showed them how a laser beam pointing to a ground could look like, and they said it was just like that. So that, of course, you could speculate, I would say, use speculate, that that could have been this point to we are pointing a laser beam to you, now we are pointing something back. Of course, this is just speculation, of course, but it makes us think. But we don't have many of such kind of stories. We have too few, actually.
And what about the light itself? Does the light only emit in the visible spectrum, or are there partial emissions observed outside of the visible light band?
Based on very few measurement which we have been able to carry out looking in the non-visible light, ultraviolet and infrared, it could indicate that there is much ultraviolet light in it. We would very much like to get an instruments or camera, actually, which can look into the ultraviolet and have it running to be able to map that more, if it's the case. Very few data we have indicate that there is can be much ultraviolet part of the light also.
Right. And have you been able to monitor electromagnetic and radio frequency?
Yes. We have measured both high frequency electromagnetic and also another instruments which could measure electrical pulsation from the ground, and that both those instruments could indicate that there is some, well, tell us a little bit more about the happening in the valley. For instance, if we think of a high electrical pulse not coming from a lightning or anything, but it coming from the ground without any light or anything, but a high electrical pulse is coming, which could give us such results. Another thing in electromagnetic radiation, we have measured also in a very low frequency. The reason why we decided to also measure very low frequency is that on some occasions, those who participate in the field work was feeling as if they were in the boats in the ocean, like you have waving movement like that. But all of them was standing quite still. We have later found out that such waving feeling or feeling as if you are in the boats can occur if your inner ear is influenced by a very strong electromagnetic radiation with very low frequency. So we have done some measurement of that afterwards, and it seems to be whenever it can be also an early warning of the sightings there. It turned out that the electromagnetic radiation can be seen on our instruments short time before the light actually occur. Another thing which can explain this waving feeling of waving movement can be infrasound. So if your ear or yourself is standing in a place where it's infrasound, sound you don't hear, but your inner ear can be affected by it in a way that you get this feeling. So either it could be infrasound or very low frequency electromagnetic radiation. Both of them can give you such a feeling. And this very low sound, infrasound, we have also some other happenings which could indicate that there may be a very strong sound, infrasound present.
Well, it's interesting, and it's a little bit of a controversial correlation, but the U.S. government has been, for the last few years, quite prominently discussing the UFO subject, and one of the studies that was found out to be undertaken by the U.S. government, I believe through the Defense Intelligence Agency, or it might have been the Department of Defense, looking into the field effects of electromagnetic effects on the physical body of human beings who had apparently had close exposure to some of these so-called UFOs. And within the close exposure, within the proximity of this, what could perhaps be an extremely high energy generating system, there were physiological effects on the body, which were studied by the CIA. In fact, they got Gary Nolan from Stanford Research, from Stanford University, to look into some of the field effects and the biological effects of close proximity to these objects. So it's interesting that there is a similarity perhaps within the energy and influence of the Hesterlin lights and also the UFO phenomenon. Has there actually been, to your knowledge, any sort of outside of just the lights themselves, UFO phenomena reported in that area?
Yes, it has. We have some few reports of describing what we call a physical object in the daytime. And we have also, in that, we have different description how they look like. You can have the ordinary flying disc type. You have this cigar-shaped oval phenomena, and some other description too. Maybe I should point out a couple of those stories which I see.
Yeah, please.
It's very interesting.
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
On one of them, the object itself, it was seen at the daytime where the sun was up and so on. And suddenly, out from nowhere, it slowly showed up an object with a glowing light around it, but some metallic in the middle. This came out from nowhere. It as if it become materialized, you know, from nothing to a solid object. It disappeared also similar. We have also in that thing coming to be possible to see it from nowhere, we have also made some measurement by a radar equipment. A radar can pick up what you know, solid object and other things in the air. And on that radar, when we used it during the field work, we had people out on the field And we had the radar just inside the cabin, very close. So we could sometimes following something on the radar screen coming up to the valley. We can see it was moving, a very strong echo, as it was on solid object, but it couldn't be seen. So we talked to the, shouted to the people outside, "Do you see something in that and that direction?" No, no one saw anything. So it turned out that it probably can be something present without being able to be seen. So that's also interesting, I think.
So do you think there is maybe a correlation then between the Hesdalen lights and other phenomenon, physical objects appearing and what people, I guess, would typically call UFOs?
Yes, we have some such happenings in Hesdalen, which could indicate some kind of physical object. But we have so far mainly the focus on the lights.
Yeah.
And the main reason for that is they happen more often it's more easy to do some measurements on it. Those object type are more seldom compared, and it's difficult to have the instruments ready when it happens. So we haven't been so focused on that. Although, when we lately have been saying that this kind of stories are also interesting to hear, to see if we can use any data from that type of observation. Take that into consideration when we are working with finding a solution. So we have these, what I can say, some some daylight description, which are quite common in the UFO community.
Yeah. But to your knowledge, there's not been any government study of the Hesdalen lights. There's been no official interest in this phenomenon.
Well, no. Difficult to answer. You have this college which has working. They have supported my work. When, of course, I use it as a teaching subject. So when I get my students to build this automatic station, it's part of the teaching system. So we don't have any goal for a research which will actually going to find a solution. Although I will say that in the beginning, when we started with the first field works many years ago, we had cooperation with the military in Norway, also with also some few scientists, but not official in that way, but on more private, but it was military personnel who said directly it was very interesting in the topic. So I also think that the U.S. military has always been interested. For instance, my first fieldwork report, which was made after the first fieldwork, that was printed in many samples, so it could be spread for many people. And I know that many of those samples or printed samples was spread out to the American military too. So they've always been interesting, I think.
Yeah, I think the U.S. Air Force especially has had a long-standing interest in events and anomalies that are similar to this. I mean, they've done extensive studies into phenomena such as ball lightning and trying to understand the kind of atmospheric anomalies that have taken place. So the Hesterlin lights, I would imagine, would be on their radar. And there's a gentleman called Bob Greenier from the Martin Fleischmann Memorial Project. He's an engineer working on replicating ball lightning in a laboratory environment, and he usually discusses exotic vacuum objects and their possible role in low energy nuclear reactions and novel physics, with especially applications for advanced propulsion. And as far as I understand, Bob Greenier has managed to demonstrate that elements that were not present at the start of the reaction process appear to arise after the ball plasma is created. And he likens the plasma reactions to ball lightning. And we also have, if you're familiar with it, the Sapphire Project that is conducting these plasma reactions. And they seem to have found the same results, that these new elements are arising during the experiments with these plasma reactors. And I don't know if you're aware, but a couple of years ago, a series of patents were released by the U.S. Navy. The author of these patents, Dr. Salvatore Pei, proposed that many similar effects of plasma for applications in exotic propulsion, anti-gravity, mass cancellation, inertial cancellation, is being speculated that these orbs of plasma might actually be physical objects, perhaps even physical vehicles of some form, but that they are in a plasma state when we're observing them, which would indicate, obviously, a very exotic form of travel. Do you think there are any overlaps between your research and the research of engineers and scientists like Salvatore Pei or Bob Greenier or the Sapphire Project in relation to plasma?
Well, could be, of course. Plasma is, of course, one of the proposed natural explanation of these lights, although no description of plasma will fit in all different types of observation we have made. So it's hard to believe. Well, maybe some of the observation or description of these lights.
Well, these people are kind of saying that it's a technology, that's turning a physical object into a plasma state, but it can then essentially become a vehicle of some form that can go into a plasma state, is the proposed idea from some of these scientists.
Well, interesting ideas, but we don't have anything which could state that this is the fact.
So what's the future of the Hesterlin Light project for you? Where do you want to try and go in the future? I know, obviously, that you're probably trying to get sufficient funding for types of equipment. What types of equipment would you feel would be best required for what you want to achieve?
Well, I think that one thing is good cameras, which could also look into the other part of the spectrum, which we don't see. That's one thing. And also magnetometer to could map if there is any correlation with the sightings and magnetical disturbances which can be seen. We have some measurement which could indicate that, but we want to have a better mapping. So we want to have that in operation, and of course also a good electromagnetical measurements in the different wavelengths, so we can map maybe the whole or much part of the electromagnetical spectrum to see if there is any correlation, And to see if, based on that, if there is a correlation, if we can use that information to go closer to a solution, what it could be. So better instrumentation, I think that's one important thing.
I was also told that you had some interesting experiences near Mount Popocatépetl in Mexico during the 90s. Is there anything that you can tell me about that particular expedition?
Yes, that was back in 1997, I think, or 96, where we were on a small expedition, in fact, to that mountain in Mexico, where we did see some lights close to the mountains. I wouldn't say it was any spectacular for me it compared the light we saw ourselves towards the mountain Popo, that it could be the same type of light which happening in the Hestown Valley. And of course, we had also instruments with us which measured the magnetic field. And close to a volcano as El Popo, it was a high activity on the magnetic field itself. So that's probably natural, but close to a volcano. The interesting thing that in Hestown also we have had magnetic measurements, and it seems that lights or the different types of light are more easy to see, or a higher probability to see a light when there is a high activity of magnetical fluctuation, happenings.
And these lights on Mount Popo, was this actually on the mountain itself? Were they in the sky? Did they look like they were on the ground?
No, as far as I remember, it was on the side of El Popo.
Because there's quite a few videos. Some of them are actually taken from the monitoring stations that record the volcano, continuously, a 24-hour recording. There's a few of them that have found their way online where you'll see a ball of light fly into screen, come down, hover around near the volcano, and then fly back off again. Just a ball of light of various colors, usually orange or yellow. So I was wondering if that was similar to anything you've heard of or you've experienced.
Well, I haven't study very much on the El Popo, but the time we were there, I remember we saw light onto to El Popo on the side. It was not any spectacular description, but there was a light moving on side of El Popo, towards El Popo.
Well, before we wrap up, I'd love to show you. I've got a video that I wanted to put onto the screen. Just give me one second. Just have a look at these videos. Now, these were recorded in 2016, a series of videos showcasing these orange orbs of light or balls of light flying in different formations and maneuvering in intelligent ways. And believe it or not, because this is something that actually is a great interest to me, the UFO subject and the recent interest in the UFO subject from the US government. I've actually seen these myself. I've seen these types of orbs on four separate occasions back in 2019. And this has been kind of the fuel of my interest in the particular subject of UFOs. And I suppose in some ways the Hestelin light phenomena strikes me as something that could in some way be related to this type of ball orb light effect. And has there been any reports of anything similar to this in the region?
Yes, this lights with several lights sticking together, it reminds me of the type 3, as I mentioned, three different main types, where you have several lights together, which seems as they are connected to one thing. And this thing has also been seen as a black object when it's not completely dark outside. So it reminds me of that type. So it's quite similar as it has done.
Yeah. Have you ever had an experience yourself that you feel would be a UFO experience?
Yes, I have had some. As a curious person, I've been searching for this, but maybe the greatest experiences I have had was I was not prepared. So the first sighting I had was a flying disc with three legs beneath it, and it was in the daytime, so it was clearly visible. And it was quite a normally form in a way that this was a saucer with three, and the legs was rounded. I remember it very good.
And this was in the air?
Yes, it was moving. I was walking home from my, it was when I was a student. I was walking home, and I saw that up in the air, in front of me, and it was moving. I couldn't say any how big it was because I didn't have any reference behind it, but it was big enough or close enough to show all the details on the bottom. That was really interesting.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And you've had more?
Yes, I also had one in the summertime. Sun was up, bright light, bright sunshine. And I was driving a small boat myself. And from my right side, I see something flashing, something before I looked at it, I thought it was a big bird was coming. It was moving up and like this. So before I looked at it, I thought it was a bird. But I looked at it, and it looked like the black square, if you can imagine, corners. Those four corners was a little bit more out. Something like that, and this square become big and small. So what I believed was some bird was moving the wings. It was actually the black thing,
wow,
which was becoming bigger and smaller. Luckily, I had a camera with me, so. When this was moving away from me, so it became smaller and smaller. But just before it disappeared, I grabbed my camera out, took a picture, and on the camera you can see only a black dot, which was very important for me because it was just where I saw it disappear. The strange thing is when I looked at it, I saw on this black thing, I didn't get the impression that it was any black object. I got the impression that I saw into a black universe. You can imagine if there's something black when it's sunshine, you can see the surface even if it's black because of the sunshine, etc. But when I looked at it, it was gave no reflection from the sun. It was just as if I saw into a black nothing.
Like a doorway just opening up.
Yes.
Yeah. Any others that you would like to tell us about? Or
Not at the moment, I think.
Okay.
I think.
All right. Well, to give you some relief, because you're not the only person that's seen crazy things in the sky, I have also seen crazy things in the sky. And just outside of this window is my back garden, where in 2019 I was outside in the middle of the night, looking up at the stars, appreciating the beautiful night sky, and I had the intention in my head, I had the idea and the intention in my head that I would love to see something, that I would really love to see something incredible. When three blurred orange lights came flying across the sky, stopped instantly above the property that I'm currently in, high up in the sky, began to descend down, weaving in between each other, and they were these three orange balls of light, and they were coming down from the sky like this, weaving around, and they froze roughly 5 feet above the roof of my house as I was standing outside staring at them. And even if I had my phone on me, I wouldn't have even tried to reach into my pocket to get it, because I was just fixed on what I was seeing. And these lights, they didn't refract onto the roof. There was no glow from the light. It was almost as if these lights were self-contained. They weren't spilling out at all. And they were slightly translucent. They were a light orange color. And they just froze above the roof of my house for maybe 3 seconds, 4 seconds. Then they started doing this movement again. And they came round and over to my neighbor's garden. And they hovered above my neighbor's garden for a few seconds. And then they started moving again, and they went up and up and up and up and up until I couldn't see them anymore. So you're not the only one to have, had these anomalous experiences. And thank you for telling me the ones that you have experienced, because that's very interesting. I've never seen a solid craft. I've always wanted to, see one of the traditional flying saucers, but I have seen orbs of light. I know that there's something out there. And thank you so much for taking the time to come and sit with me today, Professor Erling. It's been a really interesting conversation.
Thank you very much for inviting me.